This is Twit.
Despite feeling good sort of internally, externally, there may be a concern for folks who have heard about 533 million Facebook users being having their data exposed. I imagine that by now has made its way around to the more general news sector. But there's a little bit of back and forth between Facebook and sort of whether or not they see this as an issue. And I think that that statement in and of itself is enough to warrant some pondering. But the whole breach as a whole, I think, is a very interesting story. And so today we're joined by Carrie Paul, who's written for The Guardian about this breach and included some sort of clapbacks, as you will, from experts. Welcome to the show, Carrie Paul.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, we are happy to have you here. I think the best place to start for everybody is with the breach itself. Could we talk about kind of when this happened, what data was taken, or what data is in this data set, and anything we have about how this data was actually gathered up?
Yeah, so this data, as we are discussing it now, it broke by Business Insider last week. They just reported that there was this giant trove of user data from Facebook circulating around some hacker forums. Prior to that, it seems like Motherboard may have reported on it a bit earlier, though it didn't exactly report exactly how many Facebook-related accounts there were. So basically, this has been circulating around the internet for a while, but we're just now hearing about it.
Okay, yeah, so that's kind of the big thing there, right, is that this has been around for a while, and we're just now hearing about it because of the news places that have reported on it, or was this kind of known in the security sector?
I would say it was known maybe on some select hacker forums, but I don't think it was widely known in the greater security world, and definitely not by users or journalists. So definitely the reason we're talking about it now is because of the Business Insider story, which has then forced Facebook to respond to it. Facebook, of course, is doing its usual PR song and dance where they're saying, this is old news, it's old data, we've already fixed it, we fixed it in 2019, don't worry about it. But of course, experts have some different thoughts.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So that's one of the I find that fascinating because if I were to go to my my younger brother right now, and if for some reason I could convince him to tell me his password for Facebook, I have a feeling that that information, including, and I know that, you know, their phone numbers, it's Facebook IDs, full names, locations, birthdays, email addresses. This data itself didn't include passwords, but the information that a person uses on one site is often the same information that they use on other sites. And I think that that's kind of one of the big arguments here is that if that data was stolen, it's a little disingenuous for Facebook to call it old, right?
Right. A lot of this information is not information that can be changed. So obviously it's terrible when passwords are leaked, but at least you can do the usual security precautions. You can go through all your accounts, change all your passwords. We should all be using password managers anyway. So theoretically, it would be very easy to switch up. you can't change your birthday. People don't often change their cell phone numbers. So it's very likely you have the same phone number that you had in 2018 or 2019. So the fact that Facebook is saying this is old data is just, yeah, a little bit disingenuous.
So are you telling me that the reason I've been getting almost daily messages from someone out there who's telling me that I have won an Amazon best customer of the month award that is then followed up by an email from the United States Postal Service telling me that my package was available to schedule for redelivery with some link to some site that is not, could be because of this Facebook link? I mean, what I'm asking here is, what is it that cyber criminals can do with this data And how can it be used kind of nefariously? Because I think that when folks hear about this and then they hear no passwords were leaked, their first thought is like, oh, well, that's good. It's just my email address. It's just my phone number. But what can this data be used for, as you point out, because people don't often change it, or in some cases, you know, you can't change it. What can this data be used for?
Yeah, like you said, people tend to think that if it's not passwords, it's not a huge deal. But a lot of things can be done with your phone number, and a lot of things can be done with your birthday. As you mentioned, spam calls and robocalls are out of control, and this is definitely something that contributes to it. Often there will be large leaks of data tropes like this, and people can just buy them up on the dark net for, you know, 99 cents a number, and then they're calling you constantly. And I talked to one security expert who said, forget being hacked. It's just annoying. Like, even if they don't get a hold of any of your stuff, you're getting these phone calls constantly. And we all know what it's like to get these like spam calls all day long. So that is irritating for people. And then it can also be a lot worse than that, because you can get a text message from someone pretending to be your bank. And it's just extra nefarious the way that Facebook has done this, because they do require that you sign up with a phone number for Messenger, for example. A lot of times they really push you to put your phone number in, and they should have an obligation to keep that secure if they're going to force you to do it. And a lot of the reason you put in a phone number is so you can have two-factor authentication, you can have extra security. So it is a really bad look that these extra security measures at Facebook have now been used to compromise people's security.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess my, you know, the big question here is, what can we do, if anything, when it comes to something like this? Is this really one of those situations where there's no protection, or not very many protections on the user's part, and at the end of the day, it all comes down to what the company does? Or how can we kind of deal with the blowout of such a breach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple things you can do, and then in the way there's not much you can do, but you can go to haveibeenpwned.com or haveibeenzucked.com, and you can see if your information has been compromised in any of these. As I said, you can change a password, but it's hard to change your birth date or your phone number, so that there's, in that sense, there's not much you can do. But if you look it up and see that you have been included in the breach, you know, it could be a warning to you to be extra vigilant if you're getting texts from random numbers. And also, as some of the sources I spoke to mentioned, we should all be kind of pushing for better privacy and security regulations on all levels. That's kind of something that you can do as an individual. A lot of people argue that because Facebook is such a huge monopoly and because it has so many antitrust issues, that's why it just continues to have these breaches and kind of doesn't seem to care about it. It's almost like a too big to fail situation. Mm. So if we ever were to get meaningful regulation out of Congress, then that might address some of these major breaches that we've seen.
Understood.
I think that's one of the bummers that I see here with the way that this played out, especially with the news today that's been, you know, circulating that Facebook doesn't intend to notify any of the people that were involved in this about it, is that accountability aspect. Sure, you know, when this happened, whenever it was, a year ago, however long ago it was, Facebook made the patch and, you know, secured their system to protect against this going forward. But that's more than 500 million people's contact information that they may or may not ever know why they're getting all those spam calls, why their account is, you know, potentially being impacted or hacked because of a phone number that leaked out, and Facebook not being accountable and just like at least addressing them. I think this is one of those examples, or this is an example of a large data breach where the company who really, you know, is trusted to hold on to that information and keep it safe and everything, is doing little to show its users that it respects them in the sense that, hey, this happened to you and we want you to know. Instead, it's like, you got to read the news in order to know, and we're not going to say anything to you if it happened. I just think that's a horrible precedent. I don't know how you feel about that.
Right, yeah. And I think not only is it a horrible precedent, it's also perhaps illegal, because Facebook should be notifying under, you know, there's a number of breach notification laws, whether it's in the EU or certain states in the US, that require Facebook to let people know. And actually, as part of an FTC settlement that it made In 2019, I'm not sure if it applies because this data allegedly was leaked before then, but it should be notifying people within 30 days if there's a breach. So they may have also broken the law. We're not sure. So they are in contact with Irish regulators as well as I think maybe the FTC. So they may have some additional fallout from this coming up.
Yeah.
Now that's interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on that for sure.